This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thank you. You know, Jesus said in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." Isaiah said in chapter 6, verse 8, "Here am I, send me." Sending is very important to me. So I've chosen to look where others have gone so I know where to go and leave a path for others to follow. I've been doing that all my life. At 82, I want to do something for Jesus no one else will do among the Indian Eskimo people of the high Arctic. I look beyond where others have gone to see where I should go. God said to Moses, Exodus 4:12, "Now therefore go, 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 go into the work of the kingdom, wherever it is. God called us to the north." You know, we're to go forth into the sea of human need. There's so much pain and heartache and death and tragedy. I know only too well with my grandson being killed in a head-on collision 3 weeks ago. There's so much pain around us in the sea of human need. The Bible says where there's no vision, that people perish. So add this, where there is a vision, people flourish. So then, put energy into your vision to create a powerful life for God, wherever he might call you. Yes, my wife and I should say, I've been married 60 years. I've been in missionary work 60 years. We met in the missionary field in the summer of 58, and then went back married in 59. So married 50 years, mission work 50 years, and flying airplanes for 50 years.
60. Still,
thank you. See, she's my... I need her.
60 years.
She is in my right-hand woman, man. this isn't... I got to watch my time, but... So Irving Shantz called me to go up in 1958 to teach in a summer school where the Native kids had no education ever. And he said, so I went, and I started. He said, "Your supervisor is from Ontario because we need an Ontario-certified supervisor to supervise you from the States." Okay, so I started anyway. These kids knew nothing. Jane, Dick, father, mother, Puff, Spot, and see Puff run, see Dick run, see Daddy run, then I'd run and jump, you know. And so she came 2 weeks later, my supervisor. Well, the airplane comes in and floats by her shots, lands in the water, taxis up the dock, and all excited because now I get my supervisor. And tied the plane to the dock, and the pilot opened the door, pulled his seat front, and so this supervisor tries to get out, but she stumbles and falls right into my arms. I set her on the dock. She had these high heels on, tight skirt. Her heels got stuck in the dock, and she couldn't get up the rock. But I never saw those high heels and shoes again. Well, she literally fell out of my hands, and out of the sky into my hands. And a year and a half later, we got married. We're still married. So that's a little bit of her amusing stuff. So developing and maintaining a vision. We started our youth programs in 1967. And I was visionary, and we started Bible camps and youth retreats and counseling programs and flying into the reserves. And, well, we had accumulating staff, and after a bit, nobody knew exactly what they were supposed to be doing. We had sort of chaos. So I went to a management seminar conducted by Dr. Gil Peterson. He was then the president of Lancaster Bible College. So after the first day, I said, "Can we have breakfast?" And so I sat down and I said, "You know, I started this organization." And he said, "No, we're just chaotic. And I came here, to learn something about management." He looks at me and he says, "Okay, Claire, what do you want written on your tombstone? If you don't have a clear life vision, you won't have a clear vision for the organization. I need much breakfast. Fania came up with, here lies the man who loves God, loves his wife, loves his children, and loves missions. Must be in that order. I followed that. So, you have your sheets there, and I did some introduction. Now, without a vision, a people perish. With a vision, people flourish. Some more up here. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. The vision creates energy, and put that energy into your vision, this creates an exciting reality for life. The great challenge in life is creating a meaningful and motivating personal vision for one's time on earth. As Christians, we must envision things from God's perspective and share that vision with others to create a movement for our time here on earth. Most organizations started with someone having a passionate vision. That person shared the vision with other persons or several persons. They became excited. Hence, the movement started from one person. Some examples: Life Ministries, Lester Miller, Northern Lights Gospel Mission, Irvin Shantz, NCM, Stan Colley, Fresh Start, Abe Knepp, NYP, Claire Schnupp. Starts with a man with a vision. But then he has to learn how to transmit that vision and says that develop an organizational vision. Back in 1995, I had a car accident. In the hospital bed, I dedicated my life fully to Christ and to Conservative Mennonite Church and to Conservative Mennonite Missions. That was my life. That was a vision for life. So when I asked Clara about courtship, I had two questions. Would you join my church? Because she was a Mennonite brother. That's okay, but I was a Conservative Mennonite. Would you join my church too? Would you go anywhere in the world with me in missions? Going in missions is not a problem. But she was very faithful at home church. And I need 3 weeks to think about that. Talk to my dad, my bishop, my minister. And so 3 weeks later, she said she could do it. Anyway, then we blended our vision on December 29, 1959. That vision has stood us in good stead for over 60 years. So, visioneering, passing on a vision, has always been important to me. We did start Poplar Hill School in 1966. We were there for a number of years. And then these young people were going out to high school into Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, Kenora, and they were getting lost. So Irvin Shantz thought we should maybe go out and start something to minister to those young people from the north who are out there. Well, then, you know, one day I got up, was going out for breakfast, and my Bible was lying on the dresser in the corner there, my eyes fell on these words, come over, help us on a straight course. So then we made plans to transition and do that. So that's some background. Northern Youth Programs began with established points and values. A vision to help build Christian families and Christian leaders for their churches, communities, and regions. This did happen. And all these years later, some of those early students and young people worked with, their grandchildren are coming to our youth camps and youth retreats and couples conferences. So we're served several generations. And I thank God for that. We wanted people from the Conservative Mennonite constituency willing to support us as well as send their children and help people to help us. Three, One of the people, our staff, and this is very critical to me and to the organization now, we want our workers to retain their home church membership. We didn't want renegades who weren't at peace with our home church coming up there, running from something, because then they'll run from us. We wanted people to come who were under authority. And that is still a very important part of Northern Youth Programs today. But we did start a workers' fellowship. We wanted them to remain under their home church umbrella. Four, we wanted a name that would describe to people at home and people in the North what we're about. A name is significant. It needs to be well chosen. Some toyed with Mennonite Indian Youth Mission, too denominational, too racial. That seemed, yeah. Finally, we ended up with Northern Youth Programs. And that name has stood us well for these many 50-plus years. Northern Youth Programs. Reaching, teaching, and serving. That embodies what we're about. Six, we wanted a mission vision statement that would embrace what we were about. Hence, our vision mission was to partner with Aboriginal Christians to evangelize the lost, disciple believers, and develop people for Christian service. Notice the word partner. Seven, staff commitment. Staff committed to conservative Mennonite convictions, because we're going to be working, and have been and still do, working very interdenominationally. We work with young people from all kinds of missions and groups and churches. But we wanted our people to remain firm to their own convictions, yet respecting other people's convictions. We wanted full-time missionaries. We didn't want missionaries. We wanted missionaries to have the CAME workers that came have their support so that they could put all their energies into the missions and vision statements of NYP. We didn't want them to have jobs on the side and all that. We wanted full-time workers putting their energy into the vision and purpose statement. And so that has served us well. We wanted them to sign an annual statement of support for NYP as policies, standards, and vision. And we wanted them to use Matthew 18 if they had problems dealing with some other worker. Use Matthew 18. Go directly. If that doesn't work, then bring somebody with you. And eventually, you know Matthew 18. But we didn't want things to fester. Oh, yeah, we want to establish a board. Establish a board was very important. A board of members who could fit in with what we as workers have already drawn together as a vision mission statement, a person statement, vision statement, and policies. And so a board is very important. I just thank God for our board. Now, on the next page, page 4, I picked up this organizational life cycle chart, and it fit into my concept of you need a clearly stated mission vision statement if you're not going to go up and then down. So you have the birth, then there's the growth, and everybody's excited. Well, then comes a maturation stage. They're still outside focused. They're still pioneers. They're still risk takers. They're still creative thinking. And they're still working on refining the structure. And there's this idea of doing and excitement. So this is where a person would hope that it would balance and just keep going and maintain. But if the vision isn't clear, if people Oh, and you know, I'll come to that a little bit later. Everybody needs a clearly stated job description, which has in it who they report to and who they're responsible for, their space in the organization. Everyone knows what they're doing, who to report to, and when they're going to be evaluated. Three basic questions that many missionaries ask. What's my job? How am I doing? And where can I go for help? You meet those three basic needs for missionaries. Clear job description, clear evaluations, 3, 6, 12 months, depends on the job. Clearly state job description, and when they'll be evaluated, and here's the evaluation tool we'll be using. So they know what? There's be no surprises. What's my job? How am I doing? And where to go for help? So very early, we brought in people like Gil Peterson from Lancaster Bible College and others to have workshops and seminars with our staff for development. Plus, if they wanted more development, sending someplace for 2-3 weeks of some kind of development. And because people like to grow. What's my job? How am I doing? And where am I going to go for help? Say that with me. What's my job? How am I doing? Where do I go for help? Answer those three questions, you're going to have happy people, and the organization is going to thrive. Maybe that was too dramatic, but I find it worse. All right. So often it begins the saturation. It begins decline. Still some inside, turning to more inside. And they want guaranteed wages. They want guaranteed working schedules. And, guarded structure. And they want to know how retirement fits in. Well, I don't even know how retirement still fits in. I mean, sure, I turned administration over October 1915 to 2018, 3 years, three-year process. Now, the guy that worked for me and I trained, he's my boss. That's a shift. But I watched organizations grow over our many years of travel. And I saw some men that get older and they get cranky and things change and they get too cantankerous and they kick them out. I don't like that either. Others stay and get depressed and die young. I didn't like that either. But Harold Kaufman in Guatemala. We visited him one time, and he flew a 206, I had 206, and he was just barreling ahead with his mission program. I heard time came for him to turn over the responsibilities, and I said, what happened? Well, his wife passed away, but he's just down there sweeping floors, encouraging missionaries, and just encouraging staff. Well, I thought, that sounds pretty good. Hang around. So you can be a blessing to those new people. So we're still teaching. That stage for me is still coming. Because we still travel full time. We leave here on Saturday. We go to Winnipeg. We fly 1,000 miles north among the Eskimos and do 3 weeks of training. We're just excited. After all, how old was Joshua? No, Caleb, but he said, give me that mountain. How old was he? 85. It took 5 years to conquer it. I got mountains to conquer for Jesus yet. Live with a vision and a purpose. Visioneering. Don't die on the vine.
Can they hear you back there?
Can you hear me back there? For sure? And a little bit more volume. Saturation. Structure. Retirement. All of that. That's where I got sidetracked a bit. Well, then if that all comes into place and isn't caught, then there's rigidity. And there's lone rangers within, and inward focus, thinking about keeping the organization going. Problem-oriented, cloudy purpose. Then there's the death of the organization. Low tolerance, no hope, boredom and passivity, containment, disillusionment. Amos Ash and I have worked together for over 40 years, and boy, we just love it. We're still getting along together. And so he tells the story of these people who, there was the seacoast, people were having, there was a ship should be wrecked, and they needed a lighthouse and rescue to, if ship gets a lighthouse to guide, and in the rescue squad to rescue those who have shipwrecked and get them out of the ocean. And well, anyway, years went on, and they started enjoying each other, and they started their partying, and they lost focus, and the light was going went out, and it turned into a social club. They just enjoyed each other. Well, the sailors were still drowning. I've seen that happen with organizations. I didn't want that to happen. We don't want the death of the organization. We want to keep it going. But, you know, churning it over to younger men, they're going to do things differently. Absolutely. It's a given. But they're still following the basic vision, the basic purpose. They still have the same. You need a policy manual, procedures manual. It's also important. Well, composite imagine of management work. How are we doing here? Oh, we're doing pretty good. Any questions or comments so far? I've been going 90 miles an hour. It's like I fly my airplane. My wife is my best co-pilot. She took co-pilot's training. She really did. She landed the airplane once all by herself without me in it. She said her knees were shaking. She said, no more. So what are you hearing, brother?
Motivation.
Did I tell you what I wanted written on my tombstone? Did I tell you that?
Louder.
Pardon?
Louder.
Did I tell you what I then finally came up with what written on my tombstone? Because remember, that was a question he asked me. Here lies a man who loved God, loved his wife, loved his children, our offspring, and he loved missions. That's what it's all about. Loving God, loving your partner if you're married, loving your offspring, children and grandchildren, great-grands, and loving missions. You notice the order, the priority? I've seen so many missionaries that get so involved in missions and they lose their family. I don't know what God does with them. I'm passionate about that. Save your family. If you can't save your family, how effective are you going to be in your mission program? Sorry. I have passion on that. Priorities. Vision and priority. Prioritizing. Constantly prioritizing. All right. Page 5. A composite of management work. An organizational vision is maintained through good what? Management procedures. Job descriptions, evaluations, performance appraisals, and help develop your people. Send them, bring people in, whatever. Management work is the same for the chief executive officer of your organization as it is for the CEO of the world's largest organization. It differs only in degree and sophistication. Now, there are 4 parts to good management work. I'm going to say them and talk about them. Planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. Planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. Say them with me. Planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. Not controlling, I know it sounds heavy-handed, but I can't find a better word. You got to know what's happening and where people go for help. And so that's sort of heavy-handed. But anyway, planning. Planning. Determining tomorrow's end results in keeping with the vision statement. If you have no clear vision statement, then you have no clear planning, and you don't know what your end results are supposed to look like. Planning. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledging him, and he shall direct your paths. That's that direction of your plan is direct, or your path is it provides direction. Then you need, under planning, you need objectives, targets, end results. I'll come to that later, but we, very early, was number 1967 to 1977, 1977 to 1987, 87 to 97, 97 to 107, 107 to 117. Every 10 years, we evaluate everything and see if we're on target. And then make necessary adjustments. If we don't evaluate every so often, the organization can go off target. Now, if situations change, we were working a lot with trappers and hunters, but now we're working with organizational leaders. So our message doesn't change. But our tools to deliver the message change. As they move from the traffic culture of the 50s and the 60s to their communities now are there's streets and roads and street lights and all that kind of stuff. Corporations are moving in, corporate leaders and all that. So the message has to change, but we're still working with the Indian Eskimo people. Now they call themselves First Nations and Inuit people. So we do a 10-year evaluation. So 2017, my evaluation is over now. Hats off to Norm Miller to do the next decade. Am I making any sense?
What kind of things are you evaluating?
Pardon?
What kind of things are you evaluating? Like job descriptions or like the type of work or how you're going about it?
That's a good question. I'm going to come to that a little later. I'll put some up here, what we did. But you're evaluating, first of all, you're evaluating your audience as they move from trappers to more educated to highly educated. The message can change. I mean, the message is the same, but how you deliver it can, now they have computers, they have tablets. And so I use that, they use it, and we train them, and they use it. My guy in Greenland, Brian Wynn, I'll tell you a Brian Wynn story quickly. His dad was from Denmark, came to Greenland on a construction job, a drinking party, got a Greenlandic lady pregnant, and then his job was completed. He was back to Denmark. Brian Wynn is born. If he was here, he'd tell you the story. We had him over at our camp 2 years ago to tell his story. And he was born. His mom didn't want him, gave him to his uncle. He had 8 children. He didn't like him. An extra mouth to feed. Always, often didn't have enough of food to eat, and you're stupid, you won't go to school. His children went to school, but you won't. So that's how Brian grew up. But somehow he was talented, he knows 5 languages. Greenlandic, English, German, and Faroese, and something else. What he hears, he has. He interpreted for me for 8 years. We're flying all over Greenland with us, translating. Finally, 8 years, he said, Claire, I think I could learn to teach these and you could stay back in Canada. Great idea. So he started teaching courses and he taught more and more and I taught less. So by 92 or 3?
2000.
No, 2000, sorry. 2002. He started teaching all of them. We're back there 2 years ago. The whole 10-course program. 300 hours of teaching. All the manuals are translated into Greenlandic. He's taught the whole thing. He has a team of 6 that are trained. They work with him. We just went and enjoyed it. Unless we can eliminate ourselves and get it in the hands of people, I think, native people, we failed. Why should we be staying there forever? Why not go do something else and get them trained? The end result is to train them to do what we've been doing. And we've done that at other places, but there's still other places we can go.
Yeah.
And right now, where we're going up to Rankin Inlet, training people there. They're almost there where they can do it and we don't need to go. We can go elsewhere. As missionaries, if we don't plan to work ourselves out of a job, I think the disciples established churches, right? Ordained elders, right? Worked themselves out of a job. And they all died a martyr's death except John. He was too old. When I hear someone says, well, I don't want my 28-year-old daughter to go to the mission field because it's too dangerous, she might get killed. Okay, what about the apostles? I'm sorry, but what are we going to sacrifice for the gospel? Jesus gave his life, right? All of his disciples did except Apostle John. So, reevaluate. Watch social trends, theological trends, educational trends, technological trends, political trends, economical trends. 1 Chronicles 12:31, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Forecasting, estimating tomorrow. What would you like to see happen tomorrow? What are the social, economic, other changes that are happening to your audience in the next 10 years or whatever? Dreaming. A man's heart deviseth his plans, we plan, but then the Lord directs the steps. Visioneering, forecasting. Programming. This we do first, this we do next. Sequence, priority of action. That's very important. And then you attach a schedule. Attaching the clock, the calendar. So everyone knows what they should be doing and what they should not be doing. If I get over in your office space or I start doing something, you're doing your job description, what happens? Chaos. You get mad, you get upset, you pout, or else I do. Budgeting. Okay, every year, every organization, EMSS, me, the CAP and the family counseling program and the jail program, their daughter and son-in-law, they all get their budget allotment. And we try our best to stay in that budget allotment. So, allocation of total resources, equipment, money, procedures. How? A procedures manual. How to do specific work. Yeah, a procedures manual, a policy manual that goes next. Procedure and policy manuals are very important. And these need to be reviewed on a regular basis. Depends on your organization. We review them annually. And everybody has to sign a new commitment every year to follow the standards, guidelines, and policies of NIP. They're still carrying that on. That written signature once a year in an organization like ours is important. And if they can't agree, then help them find something else. Or go back to the home church who sent them. We work a lot with home churches when we have a staff problem. The minister is the first person we call. Make any sense? Then we go to leading. On page 6. Leading, motivating and guiding people. Motivating and guiding people. The founder, the CEO, is too often driven by doing. And the organization then can lose its course and flounder as he dies. And the organization often dies with him. Seen it over and over again, all over Alaska, different places I've been. So leading requires decision making. Each to know freedom and boundaries. In this area, he makes decisions. So in this time and now, Norm has his decision-making area. I work for him, flowchart. And I know what my decisions are. I know what my freedom is. I know what I need to go back and ask for. It's clearly defined. What are my boundaries? What are his boundaries? Communication. Creating understanding. And communication should be written as much as possible to avoid confusion. If you have a meeting and there's some things that aren't written down, and then later the subordinate isn't doing what he should be doing, or the supervisor isn't maintaining his area and staying out of your area, then if it's written down, communication is written down, it's so much better. Motivating is so important. Sparing, encouraging, motivating people to act positively, keep the vision clear, and work on negative attitudes. Catch negative attitudes as soon as they begin to develop. And kindly enter into them. You watch for negative attitudes towards self, others, authority, or life in general. But when negative attitudes develop, I just think of one case. Good man for 6 years and motivated and worked with the organization, started developing some negative attitudes, negative about me, negative about himself, negative about this. I liked the guy. He was doing good work. So I hung on too long. And it caused quite a problem in the organization for a while. Ultimately, he had to be released, and it was very dicey and ugly. I don't like that word. But we had to do something. Oh, you've had your car sticking up there? Okay. Developing people, helping people improve their attitudes. And they develop people. We have DVD courses. We send them to seminars. We have people come in and do seminars. Developing your people. People want to grow. They will be better next year than they are today. Develop your people. Organizing work. Arranging and relating people to the work. So that's where delegation comes in. And if you delegate something, then as a supervisor, stay out of it. But then remember, they know when they're going to be evaluated, 3 months, 6 months, a year. And trusting responsibility, authority to others. Establishing and maintaining interpersonal human relationship. I've been talking about that, actually. People like to know when their coffee breaks are. But they'd like to know when they are. But then you sort of have to sometimes say, you know, 15 minutes is up, or however much time you allow. I couldn't say enough about job descriptions. Job descriptions, a written statement of end results, how they're going to be evaluated, activities involved, organizational relationships, flow charts are so important. Who reports to who? The three questions. What are they? They're written there. Read them.
What's my job?
How
am I doing? Where can I go for help?
Once more.
What's my job? How am I doing? Where can I go for help?
Flowcharts, they're very critical in an organization our size, and even when we're smaller, 1/4 the size. Bill Peterson helped us get flowcharts. So people know who they're responsible for. And then if this guy down here goes up here, you need to talk to him. It doesn't work. And if he listens, then he's picking up monkeys that don't belong to him. And then that guy's going to get burdened down if everyone runs to the CEO. Amos and I and the camp manager and the family counselor and, you know, we all have our jobs. And if we're not doing well, we want them to come to us first, not run to Norm. Does that make any sense? So it's just so much better. Controlling. keep the entire organization, vision, and work of individuals on target. So that requires performance standards. I already talked about evaluations. For, you know, when I was at the top, for the people down and the office workers and the maintenance workers, the job descriptions were simple, but still, there had to be a job description, who did what, and then evaluation. Everybody would like to know how they're doing and where they can go for help. B, performance appraisals, face-to-face. Some of my best time in management was sitting down and evaluating people. Usually an evaluation for me of another division manager was 2 hours at least. It included family life, working issues, health. We covered all of those things in those annual evaluations. It's caring for your people. I wish I had copies of all those instruments, but I don't. Suggest areas that might need more training. This can be done in-house training, or it can be done by sending people workshops to workshops, seminars. Then, conclusion. A ministry organization needs values, vision, passion, commitment, clarity of roles, evaluations, development plans to be effective. All right, read it with me. A ministry organization needs values, vision, passion, commitment, clarity of roles, evaluations, development plans to be effective. Once more. A ministry organization needs values, vision, passion, commitment, clarity of roles, evaluations, and development people to be effective. Now, I do have about 4 minutes. And I want to so 1967 to 77, Clara and I, the Macedonian call, come over and help us. Just two of us. The name is Ez joined us. Then from 77 to 87, our goal was to strengthen Christian youth and families and to see lost youth and families find Christ. I somehow missed that next one. But 97 to 2007, helping strengthen fathers, families, youth, and churches. Offering consultation to the native people who are developing and biblical counseling. Notice now we're offering consultation to them who are now becoming leaders. And partnering with. First we did it, then we partner with the native people. And encouraging the study of the word. Now, from 2007 to 2017, stressing families and fathers. Affirm Aboriginal Christian leaders in their God-given hopes and dreams. First we did, they helped. We did together, they do, we support. That makes any sense? So we reevaluated according to their educational, sociological, economic development. Indigenization from the people, by the people, for the people. That must be the ultimate long-term goal. But you see how we developed in our 10-year planning as the organization developed, the needs changed? We did it together, they do it, and we encourage. Training in Bible caregiving as much as we can. Heart of love for God and people. 2017 to 2027 is Norman Miller's. What are you thinking?
A number of things, I guess.
Yes.
Who wrote all of the job descriptions?
Pardon?
Who wrote all of the job descriptions that had to be written?
Who wrote them? Well.
Did you write them all? Or?
No, I write the ones for people responsible to me when I was in management. And then they wrote job descriptions for those that were under them, camp, counseling center, prison ministry. Now, if they wanted to check it with me, they did. And many of them did. They work it out, we streamline it together. But I'm responsible, yeah, the person who's responsible for his people, he helps them write them, has them write them, work them out. The CEO doesn't help, Norm doesn't help Amos write a job description for somebody like Amos. Make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Bill Peterson didn't write them all. Of course, he's gone now. Any other questions?
I have a dog I'm trying to train.
A dog?
Yeah.
Where's that fit in?
Well, one of the things that in the instructions that I'm reading or the directions that I'm given is two things that are critical and important is repetition and consistency. And I heard you indirectly saying that in this organizational structure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, time's up. Thank you for coming.
This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.